Program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. This is Karen Edwards for the North Carolina Reading Service. And this is Modern Maturity. For the next half hour, I will be reading to you from various sources. We're going to start with an article that we've been reading about country music in the U.S. Now we have an article about this titled, The Fans Testify. We've asked some famous Americans and one pretty famous Brit to tell us why they love country music. We'll start with Lester Holt. I was focused on becoming a radio disc jockey. That's all I really wanted when I was in high school. I managed to land my first job at a country and western station in Sacramento. I did a show on Saturdays and Sundays, midnight to 6 a.m., I didn't know much about country music, frankly, but I learned some appreciation. Later in life, especially during my years at the Today Show, I was able to do a lot of stories with country artists, and I really became a fan. An important part of what we do in the news business is stories that people can relate to. Country music also taps into something inside us that will ring familiar about our lives and how we see the world. This was as told to Alana Nash. Lester Holt, 63, is the anchor and managing editor of NBC Nightly News and the anchor of Dateline NBC. He also plays bass. Sissy Spacek. Loretta Lynn is a brilliant songwriter. She has no guise. There is nothing fake about her, and she came up at a time when country music needed her. She has been such an inspiration to so many other artists, particularly women. She is inclusive. Everybody loves her. She is just full of love, and she is the most precious human being. Growing up in Texas, I was exposed to progressive country like Jerry Jeff Walker and Guy Clark and Townes Van Zandt. The 60s and 70s were so rich for all kinds of music, and I dabbled in all of it. But I was naive about the roots of country music. It wasn't until I met Loretta and started to work with her and go to the Grand Ole Opry that I really listened to country music. Country music is a melting pot. It comes from all over. Its influence is deep, and it is so American. I believe that we need it to bring our country together. Sissy Spacek, 72, won an Oscar for her portrayal of Loretta Lynn in the 1980 film Coal Miner's Daughter and recorded the album Hanging Up My Heart in 1983. Her next projects are the Prime video series Night Sky and the movie Sam and Kate. Senator Joni Ernst. I have a deep connection with Toby Keith's American Soldier, because that was the song that was playing when I got back home from my deployment as I led my company into the Red Oak High School in Montgomery County. We were in formation. Children were running down onto the floor to hug their moms and dads. This song was playing, and I will remember that time forever. I feel that country music is probably the one genre that has really spoken to those who have served. There are songs that make me want to pull off on the side of the road sometimes and cry because they talk about love of country, and sometimes they speak to the incredible loss that families have gone through. I don't know of any other genres that really talk about the patriotism and the pain that goes with wearing a uniform. This was as told to Jim Lenahan. Senator Joni Ernst, who turned 52 in July, is a Republican from Iowa. She also served as a company commander for the Iowa National Guard in Kuwait and Iraq during the Iraq War. Terry Bradshaw. My earliest recollection of music is when we went to my mother's parents' home, which was a farm in Holsom, Louisiana. We had a We had a battery-operated radio, and on Saturday nights, we would all gather in this little den. I would lie on the floor at my grandfather's feet and use his legs as a pillow, and we would listen to the Grand Ole Opry. Sometimes on Saturdays, us boys would climb in the wagon, and the horses would take us on a gravel road or a dirt road, and we would go to Slim's barbershop. Everybody, all the kids, the uncles, we would all pile in there, and they would have the Grand Ole Opry on in there, and there would always be discussions like, "Man, that guy can sing." Two of my uncles were really good musicians. One of them I called Uncle Duck because he had blonde hair and he pulled it back like wings. He could play the guitar and he could sing. He had a beautiful voice. My other uncle, Cedric, was a really good guitar player, and he had a beautiful voice. Occasionally, not often, but occasionally, they would sit on the front porch and play. My grandmother would be in her rocking chair. They would sit there and play mostly ballads. You know what? I've been asked this a few times. If I could switch my life, what would I be? I'd want to write songs and perform, because that's something you can do your entire life. This was as told to Jeffrey Lee Puckett. Former NFL quarterback Terry Bradshaw, 73, has recorded country albums and continues to tour and perform. He's also an NFL analyst for Fox Sports and a co-host of Fox NFL Sunday, and appears on the reality show The Bradshaw Bunch on E! Now, from AARP The Bulletin, we've been looking at an article on a special report on long-term care. Today, we're going to look at challenge number 5, lack of transportation options. One of the biggest logistical headaches for both caregiver and care recipient is the act of transporting loved ones to a destination, to the store, to medical appointments, to treatment centers, to visit with friends. According to a 2018 National Aging and Disability Transportation Center survey, about 40% of caregivers spend at least 5 hours a week providing or arranging transportation. And if a ride can't be arranged, one older study published in the Transportation Research Record, Journal of the Transportation Research Board, found that about 3.6 million people in the United States in a given year did not get medical care because of transportation issues. Not being able to get out also adds to a sense of isolation, which has been associated with increased risk of serious health conditions. Community transportation programs are available. One such program is Dial a Ride, usually funded by a local government and made available for passengers 65 and older, or for those who qualify under the Americans with Disabilities Act. Volunteer transportation programs such as Shepherd's Centers of America are available. Shepherd's dispatches volunteer drivers from more than 55 affiliate centers across the country each day. Medicare will typically cover only emergency medical trips, such as those requiring an ambulance, except in certain chronic and debilitating cases, so relying on Medicare is not the solution. But because of changes that took effect a few years ago, more Medicare Advantage plans began offering transportation benefits. 2020 saw an increase of 25% from the previous year, according to the Medical Transportation Access Coalition. Denver Health was one of the first hospitals to partner with a ride booking company. In 2017, after an elderly patient had been waiting for several hours for transportation that never came, hospital administrators knew that something needed to be done. A partnership with Lyft made a difference, says Amy Friedman, Denver Health's chief experience officer. We utilize them every day, said Friedman, adding that the hospital provided 5,800 rides, almost 16 a day, in 2021. She notes that the program is funded by the Denver Health Foundation, a separate philanthropic organization, and that it is only for patients who have no other option. It needs to be a last resort. San Antonio-based SafeRide Health has a partnership with Lyft. SafeRide makes software that will make arranging such rides even easier. We want to make sure we can make transportation as accessible as possible in one click, says Andy Auerbach, Chief Revenue Officer at SafeRide Health, saying that when a patient makes an appointment, the next question should be, do you need a ride? Great. One button. And finally, here's challenge number 6. Inequities exist within the system, causing disparities in the caregiving world. Think family caregiving is hard? It's particularly difficult in communities of color, where there's less access to health care. More people hold hourly wage jobs. People often do not trust government officials who may try to provide help, and housing may be substandard. These issues are really baked into the system, said Edom Haddo, Policy and Research Manager for the AARP Public Policy Institute. A 2021 analysis by the Commonwealth Fund, a private foundation dedicated to healthcare issues, found that healthcare systems in every state are failing many people of color. Even in states that were found to be high-performing, many people of color received much worse health care than white people. The National Institute on Aging has laid out a strategic directions for research 2020 to 2025 plan. One of its goals is to understand health disparities related to aging and develop strategies to improve the health status of older adults in diverse populations. Politicians will say, show me the data. Haddo says, if we're not collecting it in a way that reflects different groups, where's the support there? But Jan Mulcher, director of the Gerontology Institute at the University of Massachusetts, Boston, says the issue needs to be addressed through an even broader lens. Building up vulnerable communities in general will also improve caregiving. Policies going all the way back in the life course to maternal care, daycare, preschool, everything that shapes the accumulation of health and human capital are relevant in thinking about what has to happen to establish a more equitable old age. Moving on to the Complete Guide to Memory by Sentinel Health, we're into a new chapter today. Lighten your load. An efficient human brain will remember the most important things, enabling its survival. It will not remember everything, because that would be a crippling overload. And also, a little sidebar, your performance will excel if your mind stays focused on what you need to perform at your best, free of mental clutter, including the jangling but mundane memories of the day gone by. In the quest to fight off forgetfulness, some people build a palace of memory. It's a method for memorizing invented in the ancient times by, legend has it, the Greek poet Simonides of Chios, more recently made popular by multiple best-selling books, and the mind palace of Benedict Cumberbatch's Sherlock Holmes. Memory palaces provide imaginary architectural repositories for storing and retrieving anything you would like to remember. 16 centuries ago, St. Augustine wrote of treasures of innumerable images stored in his spacious palaces of memory. But scientists who study memory today have identified an important point to consider. Even the most luxurious memory palace needs trash cans. There are memories that we don't want and we don't need, says neuroscientist Maria Wimber of the University of Birmingham in England. Forgetting is good and an adaptive thing. Traditionally, forgetting has been regarded as a passive decay over time, of the information recorded and stored in the brain. But while some memories may fade away like ink on paper exposed to sunlight, recent research suggests that forgetting is often more intentional, with erasure orchestrated by elaborate cellular and molecular mechanisms. And forgetfulness is not necessarily a sign of a faulty memory. In fact, Wimber says, it's been shown over and over in computational models and also in animal work that an intelligent memory system needs forgetting. Far from signifying failure, forgetting may be the brain's frontline strategy in processing incoming information. Forgetting is essential, some researchers now argue, because the biological goal of the brain's memory apparatus is not preserving information, but rather helping the brain make sound decisions. Understanding how the brain forgets may offer clues to enhancing mental performance in healthy brains, while also providing insights into the mechanisms underlying a variety of mental disorders. The biology of remembering. Memory itself is still something of a mystery, but it basically consists of physical changes in the brain that encode a representation of past experiences. Those memory traces, known as engrams, can be accessed to reconstruct the past, albeit imperfectly. Many experts believe that engrams are built by strengthening synapses, the sites where signals are transmitted between nerve cells or neurons. Recalling a memory reactivates a pattern of nerve cells signaling that mimics the original experience. The prevailing view is that the formation of an engram involves strengthening of synaptic connections between populations of neurons that are active during an event. Sheena Jocelyn and Paul Frankland write in the current Annual Review of Neuroscience. This increases the likelihood that the same or similar activity pattern within this cell assembly can be recreated at a later time. Engrams obviously do not save every detail of every experience. Some records of activity patterns do not persist, and that's a good thing, says Wimber. An overly precise memory is maybe not really what we want in the long term, because it prevents us from using our memories to generalize them to new situations, she said at a recent meeting of the Society for Neuroscience held in San Diego. If our memories are too precise and overfitted, then we can't actually use them to make predictions about future situations. If your memory stores every exact detail of getting bitten by a dog in the park, for instance, then you wouldn't necessarily know to beware of a different dog in a different park. In fact, Wimber says, what we might want is a more flexible and more generalized memory, and that would involve a bit of forgetting of the details and more the development of a gist of a memory. Such streamlined memories are not side effects of flaws or constraints on memory power, Franklin said. And Blake Richards pointed out in a paper in Neuron in 2017, such simplification is an essential component of adaptive memory, they wrote. Simple memories that store the gist of our experiences and avoid complicated details will be better for generalizing to future events. Getting the gist, and just the gist, is therefore valuable as an aid to making smart decisions, said Franklin of the Hospital for Sick Children in Toronto and Richards of the University of Toronto. In fact, they believe it is wrong to think of memory simply as a means for high-fidelity transmission of information through time. Rather, they propose that the goal of memory is to guide intelligent decision-making. Getting just the gist is especially helpful in changing environments where loss of some memories improves decision-making in several ways. For one thing, forgetting can eliminate outdated information that would hamper sound judgment, and memories that reproduce the past too faithfully can impair the ability to imagine differing futures, making behavior too inflexible to cope with changing conditions. Failure to forget can result in the persistence of unwanted or debilitating memories, as with post-traumatic stress disorder. Next week, we will look at active forgetting. Now, going back to AARP, the bulletin, let's look at Fraud Watch. Crypto crooks. Scammers trick targets to send money using hard-to-trace cryptocurrencies. The value of cryptocurrencies crashed spectacularly in May, giving us all yet another reminder of why most everyday savers and household managers should be wary of them. But in the world of fraud, cryptocurrencies are increasingly popular, despite their volatility. Here are the reasons. Once a person pays with a cryptocurrency, the money is usually untraceable, and that's ideal for criminals. As more retailers and consumers become aware of how scammers use gift cards as a nearly untraceable way to receive money, the criminals are looking for a new payment method, and crypto fills the need perfectly. A general lack of understanding about how the cryptocurrency world works opens up all types of new fraud possibilities for creative scammers. No surprise, then, that in the past year, calls tripled to AARP's Fraud Watch helpline involving scams using Bitcoin and other digital currencies. Many were from people who didn't realize they were being tricked into buying them. Here are some recent examples. The bottom line advice: if any stranger or business asks you to use cryptocurrency to make a payment or transfer money, assume it is a fraudulent request and walk away. No legitimate business demands payments this way. The QR code trap. An AARP member from Maryland received an email, supposedly from PayPal, stating there was an incorrect charge on her account and that she was getting a refund. The email explained that too much money had been sent to her and she needed to pay some back. She was texted a QR code and directed to scan it at the ATM at her local grocery store, where she could deposit the cash. Only after completing the transaction did she realize the ATM had converted her cash to Bitcoin, which was routed to the account linked to the QR code and was now untraceable. Of course, the, quote, refund posted to her account turned out to be bogus. Fake family fraud. Auntie, I found this great investment. I've doubled my money. Click here to invest. Love you. This message came to a woman in California from what appeared to be her nephew's social media page. She clicked the link and invested. It turned out to be a Bitcoin scam, and the $12,000 she invested was gone. Her nephew's page had been hacked, and the criminals impersonated him to steal from his friends and family. The Crypto Casanova. A widow from Colorado recently shared her story about a man she met through an online dating site. After some weeks of getting to know one another, he mentioned his success at day trading stocks and offered her the chance to invest. She invested $70,000 on a legitimate crypto exchange. He then talked her into transferring that cryptocurrency to his investment platform so he could increase her stake. Her money and the man she had been talking with then vanished. Crowdsource Con. Lost your money in a crypto scam? We can help. Once their money is gone, many people who are cheated will look online for what to do next. Crooks stake out these sites. They claim to be able to recover your lost crypto with special proprietary search functions that even law enforcement doesn't possess. Of course, this is almost always triggers a follow-up scam. A phony job offer. A caller from Houston got a job offer in her email inbox for a job she could do from home. They sent her a W-9 form to fill out. Then they sent her a $3,000 check for startup fees and her first paycheck. After she deposited the check in her bank, they instructed her to transfer $1,900 via a Bitcoin ATM to them to ensure their financial link-up was secure. Only after completing that transaction did her bank call with the news that the check was fake. The $1,900 in Bitcoin was impossible to trace. And on sidebar article, 57,968 is the number of travel and vacation scams with losses of $91 million between January 2020 and May 24, 2022. Another little item, outrage, Dr. Danger. California Dr. Donald Wu Lee, 55, was sentenced to 7 years and 8 months in federal prison after he was convicted of ripping off Medicare for $12 million. He was also ordered to reimburse the health system $4.5 million. Most of the money Lee stole from the taxpayer-funded program came from falsely diagnosing illnesses and ordering expensive but unnecessary procedures, the Justice Department says. He then doubled down on the fraud by billing Medicare and using the wrong code in order to obtain a higher reimbursement, a practice known as upcoding, according to federal prosecutors. But among the charges proved in a federal court in California against Lee was this shocker. He repackaged used and contaminated catheters for his patients, a practice that put patients at risk of infection and other bodily injury, the Justice Department says. With our remaining time, we are going to go back to AARP, the bulletin, the second set of 99 great waves to save. And the section we're on now has to do with groceries. Before you shop, Flip is a free phone app that consolidates retail circulars. This makes it a snap to compare your shopping list to circulars from your local supermarkets to determine which store's virtual coupons will save you the most money. You can also use the app to generate your shopping list. Make Thursday a pantry cooking night. Americans throw away 30 to 40% of our food supply, often because it goes uneaten until it's no longer edible. The anecdote, cook at least one meal a week based entirely on foods lingering in your refrigerator pantry. Have an Eat Me First spot in your fridge. Designate a shelf or bin in your fridge for all of the leftover food bits. Think nubs of cheese, half serving of pasta, a lemon wedge, or overly ripe foodstuffs that should be eaten before fresher items. Well, folks, we've run out of time for today's episode of Modern Maturity. Be sure to listen at the same time next week. I hope you've enjoyed it. I'm Karen Edwards, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Modern Maturity is available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. If you have any questions or comments, please call 919-832-5138. That number again, 919-832-5138. And thank you for listening to the North Carolina Reading Service.